Hi everyone, this is Amy Cooper, the Program Director for the Conferences for Women, and I want to thank you all for taking the time to participate today. We're so excited to have you. This is the Conference for Women's first event of 2013, and we're thrilled that you're on with us. For those of you who have participated in past events, you'll know what to expect, and if this is your first event, we try very hard to keep it on schedule at 30 minutes. We know this is the middle of your day and want to be respectful of both your and our speaker's time. Today's discussion is with one of America's leading small business experts, Melinda Emerson. She is known to many as the Small Biz Lady and is the author of the best-selling book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, A Month-to-Month Guide to a Business That Works. Today, she will help us understand more about her mission, which is to end small business failure. Melinda's areas of expertise include small business startup, business development, and social media marketing. She publishes a resource blog called SucceedAsYourOwnBusiness.com and hosts a weekly talk show for emerging entrepreneurs on Twitter called #SmallBizChat. Melinda has been featured in The Washington Post, New York Times, Fortune, The Wall Street Journal, Black Enterprise, Essence Magazine, and Forbes Magazine named her as one of the top 20 women for entrepreneurs to follow on Twitter. She will talk to us today about becoming your own boss and why small businesses fail. She will walk us through an action plan for launching a business, and then we'll answer some questions at the end. So without further ado, I'm pleased to introduce Melinda Emerson.
Hi, everybody, and Happy New Year and all that good stuff. I am fresh back from our inauguration where our president was talking about how important entrepreneurship is going to be to his second administration and one of the centerpieces. So I'm so excited about that and excited to be with all of you today. And I know that if you're on this call, you probably have been thinking for a long time about becoming your own boss. Well, let me tell you something. I have a formula for that. So let me just tell you quickly, what I'm going to talk to you about today is quickly what really is involved in running a small business. We're also going to talk about the Emerson planning system. We're going to talk a little bit about the pitfalls, and you're going to leave here today with a mini action plan for success. So with that, I would just like to really launch into it so that you can really understand, first of all, what really is involved in running a business. Well, the thing you've got to have, first of all, is you've got to ask yourself some questions. And it starts with, do you have a solid business idea? And what I mean by a solid business idea is, do people other than your family and friends think it's a good idea, right? Because your mom will say anything is great. But more than anything else, you've got to have a solid business idea with paying customers. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, you've got to figure out whether or not you can even afford to become an entrepreneur. I got to tell you, if you've got a $3,000 or $4,000 a month mortgage and two brand new cars outside in the driveway, you might need to quit your job. You might not need to quit your job. You might not be able to because your lifestyle is really too fantastic to step back to become an entrepreneur. The other thing you've got to think about is, do you have the energy and the discipline to start something from scratch again? Now, in my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, it was built on a system that I have developed to help people make the transition from having a job to starting a business. And it's called the Emerson Planning System. And it's really, I want to quickly just run it through so you guys can kind of understand what's involved. The first thing that I think you should do if you want to start a business is really develop a life plan. You got to figure out what you want out of life, and then you need to build a business that aligns with that. You've got to figure out, how do you really want to live? What is it that makes you laugh? What is it that you still need to learn? And what do you love? What is it that you would do for free? Because if you can figure out how to get paid to do that, you will have a winning business. Secondly, you've got to look at your financial plan. Here's the deal. The money to start your business is going to come from your right or your left pocket. So you've got to get really clear about, do you have enough savings? You know, what are you going to do to support yourself while you're growing your business, particularly if you're a single person and you're the primary breadwinner in your household? Now, for those of you that have a spouse or husband that has a great job that you might be able to lean on while you're launching a business, great, but many of us don't. When I first started my first company, I was a single girl, so I only had me to depend on. So you've got to make sure that you've got the financial resources to really support yourself and your entrepreneurial dream. The next thing you've got to look at is your skill set. And you've got to look at your skill set based on the particular business that you want to start. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you want to start a restaurant, you should go work in one. You shouldn't start a daycare center because you heard those kind of businesses make a lot of money and you've never been married, don't have kids, and don't like them, right? You need to make sure you understand what it's like to work in a daycare center, because at the end of the day, you're going to be the one locking and unlocking the door every day in your business. So you've got to make sure that you have the right skill sets for your particular business. The next thing you've got to do is really evaluate your marketing plan. And what I mean by that is you've got to figure out who is going to buy from you and why. A lot of times I will see entrepreneurs focus on their logo, making sure they got a great location, fixating on their invitations that they want to send out for their grand opening event. And the reality is those things are all fine, but if you don't know who your niche target customer is, you're going to be out of business, because if everybody can use your product or service, no one will. So you really got to think about that and look at that in your business, you know, as you are developing it. And the fifth thing you need to have is a business plan. You really actually need to have an idea of how you're going to run your business. And this is not a document that you're going to write one time. This is a document you're going to write, and you're going to update it every 2 to 3 months to make sure your business is on the right track. And the reason why is because your first business plan is really your hypothesis of what you think is going to happen. So once you actually get out there and start running your business, you're going to have more data. You're going to actually know who your paying customers are. Because sometimes when we first start out in business, we think we're going to have a niche over here to the left. It turns out your niche is really over here to the right. And that's okay, because as you run your business, you're going to grow, you're going to learn. And that's all part of the process. But if you don't even have a plan, you're going to feel like somebody with their hair on fire every single day. You're going to be completely operating in what I call reactionary mode instead of making a plan and working your plan. And that's really what it takes to be successful in business. And your business plan doesn't need to be some crazy 40-page document. It could be 10 pages, as long as it's 10 quality pages that are going to actually help you run your business. And the sixth step in the Emerson planning system really is launching your business while you're still working, if you can. Now, obviously, there are many of us that have suffered from, you know, layoffs and all kinds of stuff like this. But if you have the luxury of still having a paycheck come in, you're in good shape. And the reason why is because 90% of all small businesses get business from referrals. So it's probably the person in the cube next to you that's going to be either your first customer or possibly even give you a referral to your first customer. The other thing, too, is you need a time to grow and plan for your business. I don't think you should go quit your job and then start planning your business. You actually should start planning at least 12 months before you quit your job. That's why my book is called Becoming Your Boss in 12 Months, right? The number one thing I think you need to put together when you are starting out in business is a 12-month plan to make your transition. And why is that? Well, because typically it takes 12 to 18 months for a small business to break even, let alone like replace your corporate salary. So that's part of the reason why the 12-month plan is really important. The other thing, too, is a lot of times you may need industry experience. If you're going into a business you've never worked in, you don't have any industry contacts in, that's a mistake. It may take you 12 months to build the key contacts that you need and vendors that you need so that when you do open your doors, everything will run smoothly. The other thing I already explained to you is 90% of your business is going to come from people who know you. So it may take you 12 months or more to reconnect or expand your network, particularly, let's say, if you have a job that's very internally facing. Now, people with sales jobs, they're in the street all the time. They meet people. They've got great networking skills. But many of us work internally. Maybe we have an internally facing job. Though, if you're one of those people, then you got to start forcing yourself to network. You got to start going to events, making sure that you become somebody that people know. And then that way you can call on your network to do business with you or give you a referral. The last thing you want to do is call up somebody the minute you open your business trying to reconnect with them, because everybody will be able to see through that, right? You haven't talked to somebody in 2 or 3 years, do not call them and try to sell them something. Do not do that. Make sure that you warm that connection up before you need them. The other thing is that when you start out in business, you really do need to have exceptional credit, and it may take you 12 months or more to clean your credit up and get it. And I'll explain a little later what I mean by exceptional credit, but if your credit is not the best, you know it, so you need to clean that up, because you are your business's credit when you first start out in business. And if, you know, you might need to financially reposition yourself. Let's say you're going through a divorce or something like that. There's all kinds of reasons why people's credit is messed up. Nobody cares about that. You just need to get yourself on a plan to fix it. And lastly, you've got to validate the market. You've got to make sure there's a paying customer out there for your product or service. That is just really, really important. So what else do you need to have, before you get started in business? We already talked about you got to have a network, because your network is your net worth. You got to have a solid business idea. You really need industry experience. But when I say exceptional credit, let me define for you guys what that means. That is 750 or higher in terms of your credit score. And that also means zero debt. If you have a bunch of credit card debt, you can't start a business yet. You've got to clean that up. You won't be able to withstand the pressure of your credit card debt while you're launching your business, because in the first year or so of a business, money's going to go out a long time before it starts coming back in, and you've got to be able to financially absorb that. And if you have a ton of credit card debt, it's just not going to work. Now, the other thing you need to look at is what you need to have personally in place to become your own boss. Number one, you need to have a supportive spouse or partner. Let me tell you something. An unsupportive spouse can kill your business faster than a bad marketing plan. It is really, really hard to start and run a small business. And if you're coming home to a bunch of drama and stress every night about what you're doing with your time and your money, it's just too hard. It's not going to work. If you need your spouse to pick up the slack with the kids and then running around from all their activities, you're going to have a serious conversation about that before you launch this venture. Or you're going to have to get you some additional support staff, a sibling, your parents, your mom. Maybe you hire a kid from the local college to help you out more with your kids if your spouse really isn't willing to jump in there and help you. But you've got to figure that out, because that really could derail your business. The other thing, too, is I believe in family buy-in as well. I have a 7-year-old son, and I have him do little tasks in my business. Whenever he says, can I have some money? I say, no, you can earn some money. And I give him little jobs, you know. He empties the trash in my office. Sometimes he's in my little videos. But I do that so that my son understands what I do and why it is important. The third thing you have to have is a realistic timeline, particularly if you have a spouse that's highly skeptical of what you might be trying to do. You need to come at that person like they are the bank, with facts and figures and a realistic timeline. Now, you got to be careful, because your sweetie really is going to hold you to this timeline. So whatever you give yourself, I would say add an extra 6 months to it just to give yourself some cushion, because they're going to be marching the calendar every day on you. So you just need to make sure that you have everything you need in place. And the fourth thing you should have is a kitchen cabinet of advisors. Now, let me explain what this is. This is 4 or 5 people who care about you, who are already invested in your success. So the first person in this group should be somebody who is already an entrepreneur, somebody who has been there and done that. The second person in your kitchen cabinet of advisors should be someone who is a client or who could easily become one. Why? Because you need somebody who's going to be that internal advocate, who's going to tell you what the real inside scoop is on that RFP that's about to come out, or what the budget really is, or who the entrenched incumbent is that you're trying to boot out of there. You need somebody with that intelligence on the inside. The third person in your kitchen cabinet should be someone who is a mentor to you. Many of us have informal relationships with people who mentor us and give us advice. advice. Make it formal. Ask them to join your kitchen cabinet. They'll probably be honored. And if you don't have any mentoring relationships in your life, then there's a wonderful organization called SCORE, score.org, where you can get a face-to-face mentor to help you with your business, or you can work with them right online about a specific issue in your business. It's a wonderful organization. And the fourth and fifth people that you should be looking at to be in your kitchen cabinet advisors is someone who is a CPA and somebody who is a lawyer. Now, if you had the opportunity to go to college, nine times out of ten, you know somebody who's a lawyer and who's an accountant. In my family, I actually have these people. You know, I have a brother that's a lawyer and a brother that's a CPA. Actually, my mom's a CPA too. So I've lucked out that I got all these people in my family to harass me about my business. But nine times out of ten, you know somebody who's a lawyer and you know somebody who's an accountant or a CPA. Use these people. The reason why I call these people a kitchen cabinet of advisors is because they will work for food. They are not going to give you some advice and then be trying to send you a bill. They are somebody who, if you don't abuse the privilege, will answer a question or two, you know. And these people, I find, like to get together in person so they can meet each other, so they can find out who are the other people in your life that are helping you with your business. So now let's talk about what are the elements of a small business. Well, first of all, you got your legal, you got accounting, you got your things that you manage. So you manage people, you manage money, and you also manage your brand. You also have what I call your business practice. And there's three things that are involved in business practice: your operations, your banking relationship, and your signature processes. Your processes at the end of the day are what is going to make your business scalable. It's also going to be, if you don't have processes in your business, you will never be able to hire somebody to help you because all the information is going to live in your head. Do not do that. Write down. That's part of the reason why your business plan is so important. Take the time to write down what happens when a sale happens online. What is your shipping process? What is your refund process? All this kind of stuff. What does your uniforms look like? How does your packaging go out? All of these things are things that you need to write down because they are part of your processes. So what does it take really to be an entrepreneur? You know, what is the, you know, personality and skills that are required? Well, number one, you need to be a visionary. You need to have a vision, and you need to be able to communicate it with your employees, the bank, potential investors. You really need to be able to get people behind what it is you're trying to do. You got to be able to be a leader. You can't be afraid to make hard decisions. You have to do what you got to do to make sure that you always do what's in the best interest of your business and that you do not make decisions that are emotional. You got to have business experience. I cannot stress this enough. Please do not start a business that you don't know anything about. It's a recipe for disaster. You got to have a sacrificial attitude, too. Why is that? Because there's going to be days where you have to pay your staff and can't pay yourself, and you can't be walking around throwing paychecks at people acting angry. You have to always have a smile on your face, fake it till you make it, and you always have to wear your confidence, even if you don't have anything else. You've got to have high energy and optimism. If you don't believe it, nobody else will. And that's really, really important. And the other thing, you got to be confident enough to look at somebody in the eye and tell them your price. That's really important. I almost feel like that's 90% of it. You got to be strategic with the things you do with your time and your money. You must be focused. You must be focused on a specific customer more than anything. And lastly, you've got to have strong interpersonal skills. If you don't like people, please don't go into entrepreneurship because it's just not going to work. So you've got to think about that. So what are all the skills that you do as an entrepreneur? First of all, you are the chief sales officer in your business. You're also going to get a chance to write the letters, put them in the envelope, and take them to the post office too because you're going to be your own secretary. Nobody's going to write your business plan for you. You've got to write it. And the reason why you should is because you're the one that's got to use it. You're going to do your own market research. You got to be your own IT department. When the printer breaks, you better figure out how to get it back online. Those are all the things that are important. You got to have a great bookkeeper. You've got to become the bookkeeper. You got to learn QuickBooks online. Even if you have a payroll service, somebody's got to keep track of those hours and call those hours into the payroll service. So that's important. If you have employees or people working for you, even as subcontractors, that's a lot to manage. So you're going to be the HR manager as well. You now have to be a social media expert. Most of you guys know I'm the small biz lady online on Twitter, on Facebook. And let me tell you something. social media is something you got to be doing. You don't have a choice not to do it anymore. So you got to be your own social media expert unless you can afford to outsource that. And lastly, this might be the most important job you're going to have. You got to be your own bill collector. The number one job you have is to make sure that you get your money in the door in your business. So now let's quickly talk about why do small businesses fail? Well, the number one reason why small businesses fail is because people don't really think about what their life is going to be like running their business. They have what I call this fantasy of grandeur about, you know, being off on Fridays and having more time when you start your business. No, in the first few years of a business, your business owns you. You don't own your business, and you really need to be prepared to work really, really hard for about 36 months before you really have a breakthrough financially. Secondly, I see too many people that don't have friends start a business. Your network is one of the most valuable things to your business. So if you don't have a network, you don't like network, you don't know how to network, know have an interest in networking, that could be a telltale that your business is going to struggle. You must save enough money before you start your business. The reality is that you have got to, the money to start your business is going to come from you, but you're also going to need an emergency savings account for your household, and you've got to be able to live without money, without a paycheck for a year or two, and pay your own health benefits while your business is growing if you're going to walk away from your job and start your business full time. So you really got to be financially prepared for that. The fourth reason why small businesses fail is because people try to sell to anybody that they think has money, as opposed to having a specific niche target customer. Let me tell you something. The days of generalist consultants getting business are over. Today, people want to hire people who specialize in solving their problem. You got to think about it like this. Who makes more money, your cardiologist or your primary care physician? It is your cardiologist, and you want to figure out how you can become the cardiologist for your industry. And this is the last reason why small businesses are not successful. It's really just a lack of fiscal discipline. If you do not manage your household with a budget, you will not manage your business with one. And that is something that you really, really need to think about. So as you are thinking about making this leap into entrepreneurship, here's some things I want to give you that could be helpful to you. If you know that your finances aren't where they need to be, consider this. First thing you should do is calculate your net worth. If you don't already use a household budget, create an annual household budget. You know, there's a fantastic app out there called Mint.com, and it works great with your cell phone or right on your computer to help you get control of your finances. Obtain zero debt. I mean, no car payment. Get your, obviously, you can't pay off your house or your mortgage or anything like that, but all the rest of your debt that's, you know, arbitrary, get rid of it. You also should figure out how much capital you can access. You got to look at your savings, if you have any equity in your home, if you got a 401k, IRA, any of that stuff. Look and see what you can get liquid if you need to, because it's going to take all of that stuff for you to, you know, you're going to need a lot of resources to launch your business the right way. And lastly, you've got to figure out how you will cover health or disability insurance. If you're the sole provider of, you know, resources in your household, you have really got to look at, you know, how you are going to support yourself going forward in your business. The other thing you want to think about, too, is as you're starting your business, you want to make sure that you shop around for a really good business banking relationship, and your personal bank and your business banks should be different banks. They should not be the same. Now, on average, people typically need about $25,000 to start a business. And you might think, oh, you can start it for less. You can. You certainly can start internet businesses for less. But by the time you add up all the stuff you got to buy, all the insurance and things you got to have, it really is roughly about $25,000. Now, if you're going to go into a franchise, triple that number to $75,000. Now, if you wanted to figure out where do you find business ideas, typically business ideas come from, you know, you can buy an existing business, you can create an internet startup, maybe you have some expertise you can sell, like me, like you're an infopreneur, so you can sell information or become a coach. Maybe you have a hobby that you can expand into a full-time business. the other thing I would say, too, is those of you that are still working in corporate, I would look at the supply chain in your existing companies. What are they outsourcing? What are they looking at? You might be able to walk out of your existing job with a contract in your pocket, depending on what it is your company's trying to outsource to maybe minorities or women. You might want to look at that, too, because I've seen that happen. People have really had an opportunity to go out and really do well in their businesses, and certainly there are franchise opportunities, and franchises do about 10% better than regular businesses, but it's just 10%. So don't feel like that's a panacea. Really carefully research what it is you're going to do in business if you're going to go into it. So now let's talk a little bit about the factors that you should consider when you are considering your business idea. Number one, you need to look at whether or not your business idea is really achievable. Do you have the time, experience, or money, or know where to get it to launch this business? You've really got to have that honest conversation with yourself. Secondly, how long is your business going to be relevant? Has the market been exhausted or saturated? Are there 6 other Mary Kay ladies in your neighborhood? You know, are there 5 other ladies in your church already selling Zapata? You really need to look and see, is there a lot of competition out there for what it is you want to do? You also need to look at whether or not there's a massively dominant competitor. You know, are you going to start something that competes with Microsoft? Probably not, because by the time you educate the world about what you're trying to do, you'll be out of business. So you've got to be realistic about your resources and your network and what you can really do. And you also need to evaluate, is there going to be a need for your service in 3 to 5 years? You know, it's okay to start a business that's trendy, but you just need to know that up front. You don't want to get caught looking right when you should be looking left and your business be obsolete overnight. And you also should look at what the trends are in your industry. You really do need to know whether or not you're going to go into a business that's growing or if you are going to go into a business that is shrinking. So with that, I know that I promised you guys an action plan for success as you're thinking about starting your business. So definitely I want to give you that. But I also want to let you guys know that I actually have a special program that I'm doing for anyone that's interested right now in getting their plan together. It is January. It is the perfect time for you to get your plan together to start your own business. If you all go to my website, succeedasyourownboss.com, which is my blog, I just opened up my mastermind group today. We're starting in 3 weeks on February 12th. It's going to be 6 weeks every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., 8:30, if we get a lot of good questions. And I'm going to be walking you all through the Emerson Planning System, my workbook, Are You Ready to Become Your Own Boss?, and my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. So for those of you that are interested in that, if you go and look at my website and click on services and click on the mastermind group button, you will see that available today. I'm only going to leave it open for the next 2 weeks and I'm going to shut it down. So if you guys are interested, sign up for it today, because this is what I do. This is my passion. I help people live their dreams and become their own boss the right way and not with a pie in the sky idea. So with that, I'm going to give you guys these nuggets for your action plan. So the first thing is, I really want you to consider whether you're going to sign up for our mastermind program or not. You will get a free copy of my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, if you do. But if not, just get the book anyway. It is $16 well spent. You definitely want to just get this information, because I wrote down every expensive lesson I ever learned in business, so you don't have to. So definitely investigate my book, Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months. The second thing I want you to do, start laying out your personal goals. Start thinking about what it is you really want to do with your life. And then start evaluating your personal financial picture. If you need to start cleaning up your credit, start getting a plan together for that. Then start clarifying your business concept. Run it by some people, you know, see if people are really interested in possibly doing business with you, or do you hear people constantly talking about this need, this problem, and you think you can solve it? Check it out. And lastly, consider getting yourself a personal theme song so that you can keep yourself motivated in your business as you're trying to grow and, it's going to be hard sometimes. It's going to feel overwhelming sometimes. But if you have a personal theme song for yourself, it will help you calm down and remember why you work so hard to chase your business dream. My personal theme song is For the Love of Money by the OJs. It always makes me smile and makes me feel good. So that's what I use to keep myself motivated in my small business. And again, you know, I'm Small Biz Lady on Twitter, on Facebook, my blog, SucceedAsYourOwnBoss.com. I post to it 3 times a week to give you guys helpful information. So I am easy to find. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Amy.
Wow. Thank you, Melinda. That was great. I'm sitting here thinking about my theme song. But that was so full of takeaways. I'm sure you have left a lot of people thinking about next steps in their business quest. We are so appreciative. Thank you for that time you spent and your energy. That was really well done. And to our audience, I want to thank you all for participating and invite you to join us in February when we will speak to David Bach, the author of the best-selling Finish Rich series, which will tie very well into Melinda Emerson's talk today. So thank you again, and have a great week. Bye-bye.